Listen on Demand, brought to you by 680 News.
So first of all, let me say, what an ordeal. I'm just reading your press release. What an ordeal you've been through. Oh, my God.
Yeah, to say the least.
Jeez. I mean, I can't imagine you having the endurance emotionally to go through with it all.
Well, you know what? Compared to losing a child, that's nothing. And when I sat in the mediation room and had to talk, because they make you, when you go to mediation, you're supposed to be, you know, prove that you're lost in suffering. You know?
Yeah.
So to prove loss and suffering, I mean, it was so less traumatic than the day my son died, you know? So you just do what you got to do. And so I told him exactly what I thought and how I felt.
Yeah. Well, good for you. Good for you for having the resolve to carry on with it. Now, okay, so let's, just for people who don't know the story, let's lay it out for them.
Sure.
The issue really comes down to a small roadway where some trees were cut down, right?
That's exactly it. In Hamilton, it's called Patterson Road. There's a, it's a country road, and my son usually took it, and a lot of people did, off Highway 6. It's kind of a back way to get to where you need to go instead of going up to Claflin's Corners. It's now been cut off, but still that road is used every day by people. But yeah, he was coming home. He was actually coming to my place, and a vehicle traveling in the opposite direction, which was a landscape truck with a, you know, a wider flatbed on the back.
Right.
They were both passing each other, and my son pulled over a bit because he obviously knew it looked very, you know, not wide enough for them to get by. And the landscape vehicle, the back flatbed, hit a tree stump, which the city had cut down but left 4 feet high. They hadn't cut it all the way down to the ground. The back of the vehicle hit that tree stump, broke off, and swung around and went through my son's windshield, killing him instantly.
Wow.
So, yeah, and if everybody in Ontario and everybody in the city of Hamilton has to clean their sidewalks and do their driveways and maintain their property, their boulevards, why doesn't the city of Hamilton?
Yeah, now you, obviously after that, you said to them, this should be fixed, but apparently it still hasn't been fixed?
It still hasn't been fixed. They came the next day and cut the tree down, but if you drive along that road, there are trees that line right up against the edge of the roadway. Now, the roadway during our court case came out that it was 4.6 meters wide. Apparently, and don't quote me on this, but the average road is more than 6 meters wide. Well, that left like 2 centimeters for these two vehicles to get by each other. It's still the same way today. There's nothing been done along there. There's still trees right up against the edge of the roadway that don't belong there because you have nowhere to pull over if you do meet somebody coming the opposite direction that's of any size. It's ridiculous. And it's been 7 years. This week, this Saturday, will be 7 years, and nothing has been done. The city of Hamilton, when we were in the meeting, their lawyer said that, the city has 65,000 kilometers of road to look after, and they're doing the best they can to try and maintain that. But with a limited budget, you know, not enough money these days, they're doing the best they can. And people's roads get put on a list, and they never had any complaints. Well, I know people on that road have told me they've complained before. In fact, one woman put up one family put up a sign saying crawl zone because the city had nothing there. I mean, that's ridiculous that we have to take into our own hands that type of thing. And then just to, it's just ridiculous. I think something needs to be done about that, and that the city sat there and said to me in the meeting that they're not proactive, they're reactive. They wait till something happens and people complain, and then they'll do something about it. And I think that's a disgusting way to run a city. I mean, I understand that there's not a lot of money, but if you can turn around and you can build a walkway over the QEW for people to walk on, or you can redo Gore Park or Gage Park for the umpteenth zillionth time in Hamilton, and you can't maintain your roads, then why are you spending money on frivolous things when you should be doing your job? Absolutely. Keeping people safe.
Have other people had accidents on that stretch?
You know what? I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But other people have complained.
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Now, the city says they haven't had any complaints, and I know that's not true. But
and
that's their prerogative to say whatever they want to say. Just like they couldn't find, they pay a tree company to come in and cut down trees. That's what they do. Well, apparently the tree company couldn't find the documents. So, you know, my lawyer is like, what, do you have rogue tree cutters going around cutting trees down in the city of Hamilton? Come on. But miraculously, they couldn't find that particular documents. And I mean, 7 years, all they really are doing is pushing us off, trying to get rid of us and hoping that we'll go away.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what was your final deal with the city of Hamilton? Was it a monetary settlement? Or?
Well, in Canadian law, another thing I didn't know, in Canadian law, the Supreme Court of Canada has put out a law saying that you cannot, under these circumstances, you cannot sue like the city of Hamilton for any more than $125,000 for loss and suffering. So that's what the value of a life is in Ontario, according to the Supreme Court of Canada. That's the maximum you could get. The city of Hamilton offered me one quarter of that for my son's life, which would be less than it would take to buy a traffic light. That's what my son's life was worth to the city of Hamilton, and it would be to anybody, anyone who lost a child or a husband, a mother, a father, whatever it happens to be, which is absolutely ridiculous. So I'm looking to go and have the laws amended, because that is ridiculous. I mean, it's not going to change my outcome. Mine is done. But, you know, to sit a mother and father down and tell them that their son's life or daughter's life is worth less than you would pay to a traffic signal light, you know, it's just ridiculous. It's just insane. And to some people, that amount of money would make a big difference in their lives. So I just think it's ridiculous. I mean, I'm not expecting to go and get, you know, millions of dollars like they do in the States. I know cities can't afford that. But you know what? They have lawyers and they have insurance too.
Yeah.
That's what we pay taxes for, you know? And we're paying for all this stuff and we're not getting anything back from it. And to turn around, and I had to sit in the mediation room and tell them why I only took 2 weeks off when my son died. I said, you know why I took 2 weeks off? Because if I didn't go back in 2 weeks, I would have gone insane. They didn't see it that way. They thought it was like, well, if you didn't end up, you know, needing hospitalization, then you really didn't care about your son that much.
Wow. Unbelievable.
So, you know, it just adds insult to injury, and that a parent, mother, father, whoever it happens to be, should have to sit and tell them how much they loved their child in order to get anything is absolutely ridiculous. And that the Supreme Court of Canada makes it so ludicrous amount of money. If you don't make it a huge amount of money, then cities won't fix their roads because it's cheaper to pay people off dirt amount of money. You know,
yeah.
Why fix it? If it costs them $500,000, $1 million in a lawsuit, then you'd make sure, damn sure that they'd fix the roads.
Absolutely. Wow. Rita, tell me about what you plan to do in the future. I understand you're going to do some speaking engagements and possibly write something about this.
I actually have a book that will be out at the latest in this coming spring, and it's all about, you know, the whole my life, but all, of course, a big part of my life for the last 7 years has been all of this. So that's in it as well. And, you know, I just think people need to be aware and we need to change things. Yeah, I'm going to do some speaking engagements coming up with the Ontario Trial Lawyers Association have asked me to speak to them. So we'll see where this goes. I really want to get, you know, maybe a couple of MPs on my side that would stand up and go, yeah, you're right. You know, we are spending our money frivolously here in Hamilton, and we need to do something about it.
Good for you. That's excellent. And now I understand from what the press release says that not everyone in your family was happy about you pursuing this. Is that right?
No, that's right. Well, you know, when you have such a tragic thing happen to you, everybody goes into their own grieving process. And my husband didn't want me to do it because he was like, you know, it's hard enough to deal with what's been going on, let alone be worried about courts and talking to people. He's not a person that would go out in the public and speak. You know, I mean, it tore our lives apart. It really did. Yeah. I was married. I'm not anymore. You know, I barely see my other sons. Like, you know, it tears your complete world apart. And they think it affects just you, and or just you in particularly, as a person. No, it doesn't. It affects everybody that's around you. Mm-hmm. Your whole world explodes.
Wow. And what about Jim? Was he supportive for you?
He said, Jim doesn't like getting involved in media. He said, do what you have to do. And that was pretty much it. So,
yeah. Well, that's pretty good though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
But, you know, he travels a fine line because there's you know, people that would be like, oh, Jim Carrey doesn't want her to do it, or Jim Carrey does. And, you know, he gets enough press. He doesn't need mine.
Exactly. I hear you. Chair. So, this is the end of a chapter for you, and are you,
totally.
I guess you can't say you're really satisfied with how it...
Not at all. Not at all. You know, I won't be satisfied till I get the laws changed because, as I said, it's just insane. I mean, a life is worth more than $125,000, and that's even if you got anywhere close to that amount, which you won't.
Yeah.
And that's ridiculous.
And tell me just a little bit about your son and how old he was when he passed away.
He was 25 years old, and he was 2 months away from marrying his fiancée. She was in the car with him. She just missed being killed herself by inches. The flatbed swung around and just went past her and landed on top of my son. He's right now, well, he would be 32 in July, and he was a great human being. To this day, there's a Facebook page with like over 200 friends that still go on there and talk about him and wish him happy birthday, and it's been 7 years. So that speaks a lot for what kind of character he had.
Wow. Well, Rita, if it means anything, I admire what you did for sticking with it and getting through and getting the message out there and helping a lot of other people, I'm sure, along the way. And I think it's you're to be commended.
Well, thank you. I just hope I can make a difference and make somebody else alive who has to go through the hell of losing a child not a little less horrific.
Good for you. Thanks, Rita.
Thanks so much, Gloria.